Joined on the green this week by Roman Battaglia, our Report for America Corps member who covers state legislature and state politics for us. He is here this week because, of course, it is a big week politically. It is the State of the State address from Governor John Carney. We heard it on Thursday, about a 30-minute speech, basically kind of giving an overview of what Carney thought went well last year during 2021 and perhaps a little bit of an agenda for 2022. Roman, thanks for being with us to help break down the speech.
Happy to be here.
So, Roman, before we dig into the speech itself, what was your kind of overall feeling about the speech and what, if anything, Carney was able to accomplish with this speech?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, my thoughts and overall what I was reacting to when I saw the speech was it seemed very optimistic, and it seemed like it was really looking forward to recovering from the pandemic as opposed to last year's speech, which seems more – it seemed a lot more pandemic-focused, and I think right now he's talking a lot about stuff now. We're past the pandemic. We're going to work on these all of these other priorities, and we're really optimistic about what state we're in right now as a state, you know, financially and, you know, with all of these things we've got going on.
Which is interesting because the speech comes like in the middle of kind of an Omicron surge that has really put a lot of pressure on the state. You know, certainly he acknowledged all that. So it wasn't as if he was kind of being, you know, ignoring the problem as we see it and be a Pollyannish about the whole thing. But it was kind of an interesting speech for this particular moment.
Yeah, it seems like what he was trying to do was obviously he has been focusing on the pandemic. I mean, they've been bringing back these weekly press conferences, bringing in the National Guard and all this stuff. But I think that he is trying to be like, oh, I need to stop just focusing on the pandemic and work on my actual agenda and things that I want to get accomplished, which he hasn't been able to do as much because of the pandemic.
Yeah, particularly over the last couple of years, it has been very hard to do very much of anything. And certainly, I'm sure there is a bit of hope in his mind that yes, I'm going to actually be able to get to some things this year. And speaking of getting to some things this year, one of the biggest headlines coming out of this speech, I thought, I'll see if you agree, is that Carney decided to put his weight behind paid leave, medical and family leave in Delaware. How big a deal is that for this bill, and what was the reaction from the lawmakers you talked to?
I think it was a pretty big deal too. I think it seems like it's certainly helpful to have support from the governor for a bill like this because this is obviously not the easiest bill to get passed. It changes a lot in the state and how a lot of the businesses in the state function, especially because Carney is trying to bring businesses and workers into the state. Mm-hmm. When I talked with State Senator Sarah McBride, who's the sponsor of this bill, she was very excited to see, you know, the support for this. And she mentioned she was really excited to work with him. I think from what I was talking with her about was it seems like he's actually working with her directly on this bill and the implementation of this stuff. So it sounds like, at least from what Carney is seeing, working on economic development and bringing in more workers into the state, he sees SB1 and paid family leave as one of the big ways to attract more workers into the state. And so that's why he's putting his weight behind it, working with Senator McBride on getting it passed and actually implementing it, because he sees this as a way to be able to get more workers and, you know, businesses into the state.
And one thing we should note is the fact that there is paid leave for state workers already. Mm-hmm. That was something that was already put in place by lawmakers previously. And this sounds like a very, in my mind, a very John Carney-esque thing. You hear a lot of times when John Carney talks about policy, like, well, let's do something on a smaller scale, see how it works, and then kind of make decisions based on that. And it seems like perhaps maybe that is a reason why he was willing to go forward on this, because it was implemented with state workers. Maybe he's seen how that's played out with state workers and felt comfortable moving ahead with it to all businesses in Delaware.
Yeah, and he mentioned bringing in or the paid leave for state workers when he was talking about paid family leave. And so extending – he quite literally said extend paid leave into the private sector. And so that's sort of seems like what he saw, is he saw that paid leave for state workers worked well, and now let's try and expand it into all businesses so we can bring in more of these private businesses and more workers into the state.
Particularly as we, as you said, look to build the workforce here in the first state. And he talked, as you said, specifically about paid leave being a tool to build workforce development. And he did spend a lot of time talking about jobs in this speech, touting how many jobs were created during the pandemic, but also noting that there are still more jobs open right now than people actively looking for work. And this, again, kind of feels like it falls into John Carney's wheelhouse, that he's now trying to really focus on this piece of economic development. What is he looking for beyond paid leave to build workforce in Delaware?
Yeah, Carney really, I think, is trying to focus on workforce development right now. And I mean, he mentioned in his speech, I don't know where he got his numbers or what date they're dated from, but he said that there are 33,000 open positions, but only 26,000 Delawareans looking for work. So there are a lot of open positions that have no one to fill them, theoretically. And so, yeah, I think pushing paid family leave is something he's really focusing on to get younger workers and people into the state. And I also think a lot of what he was mentioning was these public-private partnerships that are bringing businesses into the state. He mentioned at least six companies that are bringing like thousands of jobs mm-hmm. into the state through the Delaware Prosperity Partnership, which is this public-private organization that helps bring in these companies and all of these like launch pads and things that he has going on to bring in these businesses. So I think that's a big thing that he's working on is those public-private partnerships.
And that was something he did right at the beginning of his administration, replacing the Delaware Department of Economic Development, you know, the old DEDO, with the Prosperity Partnership, making it more of a public-private entity rather than something that was specifically in state government. So it's interesting to see that he has really tried to build on that as he has continued into now his second term. Carney also continued to press really hard for his Wilmington Learning Collaborative to address underperforming schools in the state's largest city. You had a chance to talk with State Senator Tizzy Lachman, who is part of the Reading Consortium that's also been looking at Wilmington schools now for a while and other education issues. I'm curious what she had to say about where this collaborative stands and how much – as much as Carney's been pushing for this and meeting with people and going to school boards and knocking on doors, you know, how much do people really know about this as he's trying to actually get votes from school boards right now to move forward with it?
Yeah, I talked with her about this because, you know, Tizzy is obviously on the board of the Reading Consortium, which is focused on solving these problems and figuring out what to do. And, you know, she talked about just how hard it is to reach stakeholders in the education sector, you know, parents of children and, you know, teachers and administrators who are already busy with their jobs and all of their other stuff. It's hard to reach out to them on these big picture things like, oh, here's what we got going on for this collaborative. So it seems like, you know, in cities like Wilmington, it's especially difficult just because of how hard it is to reach all the different populations. But from what Tizzy was telling me, it seems like Carney is doing as best as he can to reach out to these communities. I mean, he is physically going out and knocking on doors in the communities where they'll be affected by this and, you know, meeting with all of these school boards all the time. She mentioned the Reading Consortium has been in contact with him all the time and they talk about it in all of their meetings. So it seems like from what she was telling me, the awareness and, you know, support for this is gaining traction slowly in the way that it should, in the best way that it can. I mean, it's really hard to get people to learn about this stuff in education, but it's happening and that support is coming. And so obviously that becomes really important as now we're starting to get to that time where the boards need to start making a decision before they get involved.
And we know that Christina has already signed on mm-hmm. to at least moving forward with this project. And the last time the state went to Christina to kind of create a kind of MOU on doing something with Wilmington schools, it took a lot longer to get Christina on board. And the fact that they're on board and they're the first on board is probably a signal that Carney's moving in the right direction. He also talked, Roman, about, at least in broad terms, the budget, which you take center stage next week when he unveils his 2023 budget proposal. Most times the budget's kind of absent from the state of the state because it's more of a vision plan and the governor's plan is going to come the next week anyway. But he kind of made it a point of emphasis in his state of the state, and it appears he feels like this is a real strength for his administration, right?
Yeah. I think he talked a lot about the budget. I mean, not specific numbers, which is what we're going to see next week, but he mentioned the budget a lot. This is in my next week's state of the state budget, this is what I'm going to do and unveil and invest, and did mention a couple of things. I think that, you know, he talked a lot about fiscal responsibility and how, you know, the state was able to weather the pandemic better than most. There's this rainy day fund and, you know, this I forget what it's called, but the budget smoothing.
It's been called budget smoothing, but it is the budget stabilization fund, if you want to be precise
yes,
about it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think he was talking, or he didn't mention that fund specifically, but he talks a lot about how that was really what helped us get through the pandemic without having to, you know, make big budget cuts or raise taxes or lay off a lot of people. And so I think what happened here was, if anything, all of what happened through the pandemic with the budget solidified, you know, his ideals and his goals moving forward. And so I think what I'm sort of expecting to see next week is, you know, a continuation of those sort of conservative budget proposals moving forward, staying, you know, not
one-time spending.
Yeah, a lot of that's exactly a lot. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot of one-time spending again, like we saw last year. There was a ton of one-time spending in infrastructure and just other programs and stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that again. And I think we'll probably see a, you know, a conservative budget proposal again next week because he knows that that's what worked to get us through this time.
Any other proposals stand out to you yesterday?
I think that the affordable housing stuff that he talked about seemed important. He talked about investing a lot of federal money in affordable housing units in Kent and Sussex County, as well as the infrastructure for broadband internet stuff in those two counties. And I think that was something that really, you know, hit the top of my mind because mm-hmm. affordable housing is really, you know, difficult. It's hard for a lot of these people to find available housing that fits their budget and, you know, meets their needs. And so expanding the availability for that and then also expanding where people can get internet is important because a lot of people working from home, you really need to have internet to have housing in a lot of these places, especially for these families. So I think that was something that really, you know, pointed out to me.
Anything notable by its absence in your opinion?
Yeah, I would say that at least one thing that I – when I was thinking about it after the fact was I didn't really see a lot of mentions about addressing gun violence or crime. I think that he mentioned gun violence just once in his speech, which was about investing a little bit more in gun violence prevention in Wilmington and Dover. But other than that, he didn't really talk about, you know, addressing crime in the state. One thing that we're seeing across the country is gun violence rates are going up. They were – a lot higher than they were in 2020, and they're higher again in 2021. So I think one thing that I didn't notice a lot is what's actually going to be more done to address this gun violence stuff. I think its absence is notable just because of the other gun control bills that lawmakers are trying to get passed this year. There's a couple of other ones that they didn't get passed last year mm-hmm. that they're trying to get passed this year. And also, that doesn't mention that the state attorney general is up for election this year.
Which, so it's going to be a topic.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a topic, especially because two of the Republican candidates running against Kathy Jennings, which she has announced that she'll run yet, but two of those candidates are focused on gun violence and crime. They're specifically saying that Jennings hasn't done enough to, right. you know, prevent crime and stop crime rates. So I think that's going to be a huge topic this year, and I'm surprised that he didn't talk more about that.
Romo Vitale, we appreciate the time. We appreciate reporting. People can find it anytime at DelawarePublic.org. Thanks for being with us on The Green.
Great. Thank you.